Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Makos Daf Zayin. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the shiur. And even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. We are looking now at the Mishnah on Daf Zayin. Mi shenigmar dinoi uborach. Someone who received a verdict of guilt, and ran away. Ubal lifnei oisoi bezdin. And he came later in front of that very same Bezdin that issued the verdict. Ein soisrin es dino. There is no need to go over the case again. Rashi says on the second line from the top, Ein soisrin lachzor v'liso v'litein ulai yizke. To go over the details of the case and in the hopes of him being exonerated. Kol mokim shamdu shnayim viomru meirim onu beish ploni shenigmar dino bebezin shoploni. Wherever two arise and testify that we know that so and so received a verdict, a guilty verdict in a particular bezin, a such and such bezin, uploni uploni edov, and so and so and so and so and so were the witnesses. Hare ze yehorek. That's sufficient for the accused to be executed. Sanhedrin noheges ba'aretz u'b'chutz la'aretz. A court of 23 is in act, whether it be in Eretz Israel or in the diaspora. Sanhedrin ha-hoireges. We have a numbering system here in this section of the Mishnah indicating several different opinions regarding a Sanhedrin that executes the victims of executes the accused as a result of guilty verdicts. So the first opinion says Sanhedrin ha-hoireges echod b'shavua. As a court that executes once every 7 years, Nikres Chovlanis, is called a court that is injurious. Chovlanis, word chavola, means to create an injury. In other words, it's a court that's overly interested in seeing the death penalty carried out. Rabbi Elazar ben Azaria omer echod l'shivim shana, once every 70 years. The Gemara will ask about Rabbi Elazar ben Azaria shita. What is it? Once every 70 years? Is that normal, or is that, in his opinion, what is a chovlanis? Rabbi Tarfon, Rabbi Akiva omrim ilu hayinu v'sanhedrin. If we were at a time that the Sanhedrin was in session, lo neharag odom me'olam, no one would ever be executed. Rav Shimon Gamliel Omer, in reaction to Rabbi Tarfon and Rabbi Kibbe, says, af hein marvim shofchei domim b'Yisrael, by the court restricting or restraining itself from ever issuing a death penalty, that is encouraging murders in Israel, because there's no fear in the hearts of the masses when they know that the court will not execute the offenders. The opening of the Mishnah said that if a person had received a guilty verdict and ran away, and then is brought back in front of the very same Bezdin that issued the guilty verdict, there is no need to go over the case again. Based on that, the Gemara makes an inference, and as a result of the inference, raises a contradiction that's found within the Mishnah itself. With our markings, we've noted a long question starting from the beginning of the Gemara, and you can see to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text a kuf that's encircled with a dashed vertical line that indicates all of the lines of the Gemara that are opposite this dashed vertical line are part of the question. After that, you'll notice Abaye responds. He is the beginning of a long answer, and we've indicated that as well with a long teretz marking, the tuf that is encircled, with another dashed vertical line, indicating that the teretz lasts the length of all the lines of Gemara opposite the dashed vertical line. As far as the nosei, the topic heading that we've assigned to this Gemara, you can glance at the outside margin, you'll see the nosei, which in our Shas Ozer marked Gemara edition features topic headings from time to time. This topic is Mi Shenigmar Dino Ubarach Ubalifnei Aleph Oso Basin or Beis Lifnei Basin Acher. Someone who received a guilty verdict ran away and then came before. Well, you have one of two possibilities. Oso Bezin means the original Bezin that issued the guilty verdict, or he was brought in front of another Bezin. Ha'im Soimchen al Hapsak Din HaRishon. Are we to rely on the original verdict? Oh, Chayzrin V'Donim Oso, or do we try the case again? So the Gemara makes an inference, as we said before, from the opening of the Mishnah. Lifnei oisoi bezdin hu the ein soisrin. That leaves you to think that ha lifnei bezin acher. However, if the person who received the guilty verdict would show up in front of another bezdin soisrin, then we would undo the case, so to speak. In other words, we would try the case again. Ha tana seifa, but in the Seifa, the latter section, the continuation of the Mishnah, it says, we've put a frame around it indicating a Tanaic source. In this case, it's a quote from our Mishnah. Kol mokoim shiyamdu shnayim v'yomru me'idem anu es ish ploni shenigmar dino v'vezin ploni uploni uploni edov harei ze neherag. We learned this in the Mishnah, that anytime, even in front of another Bezin, if two people arise and say so-and-so received a guilty verdict in front of that other Beis Din, and they note the names of the witnesses, so the accused will be executed, even though it's not the original Beis Din. And you see, we're not going over the case again. Omar Abaye lo kashya. There is no contradiction between the inference from the Reisha and the Seifa. Kan be'eretz Yisrael. The inference that we drew from the Reisha, which indicated that in front of another Beis Din we would go over the case again, that's in a case where the accused ran from Chutz La'aretz to Eretz Yisrael, for example. Kan b'Chutz La'aretz, the Seifa that said we don't go over the case is where the accused did not come to Eretz Yisrael. We'll see why. What's the significance of Eretz Yisrael that causes a case to be tried again? The Sanya, the Braisa elaborates on this teretz. Rabbi Yehuda ben Dostoy Omer Mishum Rabbi Shimon ben Shetach. Rabbi Yehuda quotes Rabbi Shimon ben Shetach and says, Borach, and the accused who received a guilty verdict, who ran away. We have noted, we have a colon indicating two cases that follow. Case 1, Aleph, the first case, Me Oretz, L'chutz Oretz. He received a guilty verdict in Eretz Yisrael and ran to the diaspora. Ein Sosrin Esdino. When he's brought in front of a court in Chutz La'aretz, we won't go over the case again. However, Me Chutz La'aretz La'aretz, if he was tried and found guilty in the diaspora and then ran to Eretz Yisrael, Sosrin Esdino, we will try the case again. Because of the merit of coming to Israel. Rashi adds, Ulai toil limsoi loy pesach shelzchus. Because he came to Eretz Yisrael, in the merit of his coming to Eretz Yisrael, we might find grounds for exonerating the individual who had been found guilty in Chutz La'aretz. Sanhedrin noheges v'chulei. How do we know, from where do we know, that Sanhedrin is noeg in Chutz La'aretz as well? The Tanur Rabbanan. We have a source. Eile lochem luchukas mishpot ludorosechem. Lomadnu l'sanhedrin shenohages boretz ubuchusaretz. From this pasuk, it says that the laws of courts shall be binding for all generations. From here, it seems that it's binding both in Eretz Israel and in Chutz Laretz. Im kein, if it is so that it's binding in Chutz Laretz as well, ma tamulomar bishorecho, the pasuk says at the beginning of Parshas Shoftim, it says Shoftim v'shoytrim titein l'cho b'chol shorecho. The expression shorecho sounds like in your gates. Your gates means in Eretz Israel, which is the Jewish land, to the exclusion of the diaspora. How do we resolve these two sources? So the Gemara, the Brisa answers, Bisharecha, when you're in Eretz Yisrael, Ata Moshev Botei Dinem B'chol Plachu Plachu B'chol Ir V'ir. In Eretz Yisrael, in addition to regional courts, Plachu Plach, there is also a requirement to have courts in each Ir V'ir, each city. U'b'chutz Laretz, Ata Moshev B'chol Plachu Plach, V'i Ata Moshev B'chol Ir V'ir. In Chutz Laretz, then the requirement is to have courts in every region, but not in every city. Sanhedrin Hahoreges, and then the continuation of the Mishnah featured Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah Omer, Echad L'Shivim Shana. Ibaya Laho, the Gemara raises the question that we introduced when reading the Mishnah. You'll notice the markings indicate Aleph. You see here an Aleph, Oyudilmo. The Oyudilmo expression is squiggle underline. The introducing the alternative phase, another possibility. In trying to understand Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, the question is: Achas l'shivim shana nikreis chavlanis. If a court executes once every 70 years, in his opinion, is that called chavlanis, the murderous court, or maybe that's normal? That's an acceptable rate of execution once every 70 years. Take this remains unresolved. Rabbi Tarfon, Rabbi Akiva, Omrim, Ilu Hayinu, Vechule. In the Mishnah we saw, they declared that if they were at a time that the Sanhedrin was in session, they would have seen to it that there would be no executions. As we go on in the Gemara, we feature Roman numeral 1, and a few lines later Roman numeral number 2. The Gemara will be inquiring, how is it, or through what method will they always exonerate someone in the case of 1, cases of murder, and 2, the cases of immorality, adulterous relations. Hechi havu avdi. In the case of a murder trial, how would they have conducted themselves to exonerate the accused? Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Elazar, Dami Travayu. They answer, you know what they would have asked the witnesses? They would have asked questions that would have led to exoneration. Let us see how. Re'isem, did you see trefa horag, sholem horag? Did you see if the victim was a trefa or he was a complete individual? A trefa is a person that has an internal organ damage. There are 18 different possibilities of organ damages that would constitute or categorize the person as being a trefa. A trefa is a person who is deemed to have a restricted lifespan. It's seen in other Gemaras that they would probably die within the year anyway. So the halacha is that if a person kills an individual who is a trefa, the murderer is not guilty of a capital offense. In other words, the court cannot execute an individual who murdered a trefa. So the witnesses will ask the court will ask the witnesses, according to the approach of Rabbi Tarfon and Rabbi Kiva, do you know whether the victim was a trefa or a healthy person? Most likely, the witnesses will not be able to answer that question. Omar Ravashi, Im Timsalomar Sholeim Have, if there is a situation where we check the where the victim was checked out, and it was discovered that no holes, which is the standard form of creating trephus. There are other grounds on which trephus could be established, but holes in certain organs would create trephus. So that Ravashi says that if you would have a case that a post-mortem was done, and they discovered that the victim was sholem, he didn't have any holes in critical organs, nevertheless, Dilma b'mokom sayif nekiv havi. Maybe where the murder weapon penetrated the victim's body, there had been a hole in that particular organ beforehand. So that if, for argument's sake, for illustration's sake, let us say, a person was killed by his lung being pierced. Someone killed him by stabbing him in the lung. So, if a post-mortem were done and the rest of his vital organs were found to be complete without holes in it, how can we rule out the possibility that a hole had been in that very point that the stabbing took place? And if that be the case, so the accused cannot be executed, because the victim really was the victim was a trepha. Continuing in the questions that we would ask witnesses in order to exonerate the accused, b'boil esa erva hechi havu avdi. In the case of someone accused of forbidden intimacy, what questions would we present to the witnesses in an attempt to exonerate the accused? Abaye rava dami chavayu. We would pose the following question to the witnesses. Ra'isem kemachol b'shweferes. Did you see the actual act of intimacy where the male organ is inserted into the partner, into his partner? That is referred to in the Gemara by the term machol b'shweferes, which is a euphemism translated as a makhol is an applicator in the shofaris, the tube that holds the cosmetic. So using your imagination, you can see what is being referred to by this particular analogy. So if the witnesses cannot say they saw the very act of intimacy, then we cannot execute the accused, because they didn't see the actual act. Now, that is the opinion of Rabbi Tarfon and Rabbi Kiva. In other words, that's what they would have asked witnesses. And it's inevitable they didn't see that. V'rabbonon hechi dainu, the Rabbonon who disagree with Rabbi Tarfon and Rabbi Kiva, who hold that we are able to execute people who are involved or guilty of adulterous relations or forbidden intimacy, how do they judge cases? In the absence of seeing the very actual act, how can you condemn the accused? The Gemara answers Kishmuel, based on Shmuel's approach. The Omar Shmuel, the Menafim, when dealing with people involved in forbidden intimacy, Mishigiru Kimenafim. Rashi explains Mishiyinhagu Inyan Niuf, when a couple is together in the standard way that couples who are involved with intimacy, shesheichven bekiruv basar, that they are lying body to body, v'noyagim kederech tashmish, and their behavior is characteristic of people that are engaged in intimacy. That's sufficient grounds, even though one doesn't see the actual makhol b'shveferes that we described before. Nevertheless, this is enough grounds to sentence the participants. The second perek of Maseches Makis, we have a topic heading, the Nose, Ein Horotseach Gola Ela Imkein Horag B'Shogeg Derech Yerida. The topic deals with people guilty of inadvertent murder. They are sentenced to exile into one of the cities of refuge. The parsha of Orei Miklot, cities of refuge, with regard to people who murder b'shogeg, inadvertently, this applies only if the murder action took place in a descending fashion. The Mishnah will cite some examples. Elu hein hagolin, ha-horeg nefesh b'shogeg. A person who commits murder inadvertently. Hoya magil b'magila. A person was pushing a magila, is a device that's used for smoothing out cement or tar, different types of materials that need to be smoothed out. So we have the Mishnah describes someone who is pushing a roller or a trawl, devices that are used for smoothing things out, and as he's pushing it, the nafla alav, it fell onto a person standing below, the hargasoi, and killed him. That would be grounds for golus. That would be grounds for the person doing the smoothing out, for him to be sentenced to a city of refuge. Hoya mishalsha b'chovis v'nafla alav v'hargaso. A person was lowering a receptacle, a jug, and while he was lowering it, it fell on somebody and killed them. Hoya yurei b'sulam v'nafla alav. A person was descending a ladder and fell on a victim v'hargaso and killed him. Hare ze gola. All of these acts, as you can see, are acts of murder committed while in a descending position or action or movement. There's a Tosfos at the bottom of the page. Hayoyori Besulam Yesh Omrim Detona Loizu Avzu Kotani. That the structure of the Mishnah in presenting these several examples has a specific structure to it, and Tosfos explains. Lo zu me'agel devada yesh l'chayv ha'golus. This not only the case of the person using the roller, which is obvious that he should be sent to a city of refuge. The lama lo nizhar. Why wasn't he careful? In other words, we come to him with a claim against his behavior. Why weren't you careful? Elo af mishal shel chovis deshapir mizar, but even someone lowering a jug who is careful, he's careful because shelo yishover chaviso, he doesn't want his jug to break. So it's in his interest that while he lowers it, he does it carefully. Im nofal v'harag, if it fell anyway and killed, chayav, the person whose jug. Person who was lowering the jug goes to exile. The oid, and furthermore, the lo zu eloaf zu yore v'sulam the tvei mizar k'deshelo hipol. A person who's descending a ladder who is all the more careful that he doesn't fall and hurt himself. Im horag chayav. If he did fall and killed someone, even that case is chayav golos. Hence, the Mishnah was presenting cases in a build-up fashion, building up to each time a greater chiddush. We turn back to the Mishnah. We notice a squiggle underline avol. This is a transition point. We often mark different expressions in the Shas with a squiggle underline when you encounter a transition point. Avol. Im hoya moishech b'magilo. If he was drawing the roller toward him, v'nofla alav, and fell onto someone, v'hargasu, and killed him. Hoya doyle b'chovis. He was raising the jug, v'nifsak hachevel, and the rope snapped, v'nafla olav, and v'hargaso, and the jug fell on the victim and killed him. Hoya oyle b'sulam v'nafla olav. The person was arising, he was going up a ladder, and he fell. The perpetrator does not go to exile. He doesn't go to the city of refuge. Ze haklal. The Mishnah presents a rule. Aleph. Kol shebederech yiridaso goyle. Murders, deaths that take place while descending, there is golos. Shelo bederech yiridaso eino goyle. If not in a descending fashion, there is no golos. Minohani mili. From where do we know that there is golos only when you're dealing with derech yirida? Omar Shmuel, Domar Kro, Vayapel, Olov, Vayomois. Ad Shiyipol, Derech Nefila. From this Pasuk, in Bamidbar, Perek Lamed He, Pasuk Chav Gimel, one sees that the sentencing to Ir Miklat is only in the case of a Nefila fashion, a falling fashion, namely Derech Yerida. Derech Nefila means in the course of a downward motion. Tanu Rabbanan. The Gemara presents drushes from Sukkim from which we will learn the guidelines under which there is or is not golos. We have on the side a topic heading combined with a structural note, the Nose, Mivne, Droshos Bipsukim Sheboyim Lemayit Elu She'enam Golim. We're going to see where the triangle appears as we go down the Omid. You can see a number of them, the triangle being one of our several series markers. All the geometric forms in the marking system point out series of related ideas. In this case, these are drushes from Sukkim that will come to exclude those that do not go to Golos. Lamrois shelo rotzchu hanirtzach v'mezid. Even though they did not commit a murder b'mezid in a premeditated fashion, nevertheless they do not go to Golos. The pasuk uses the term bishgoga, prat l'mezid. A murderer will go to exile if he did it bishgoga, but not bishgog inadvertently, to the exclusion of mezid premeditated. Premeditated does not go to golus. The pasuk also says bivli das. This is another pasuk altogether. This is coming from Dvorim, Perek Yutes, pasuk Dalid. Prat lemiskaving. Bivli das means without knowledge, to the exclusion of someone who miskaving had intent. The Gemara now goes over the points that were featured in this source and raises some questions. Mezid, you said that Mezid does not go to Golos. Pshita, bar kaplehu, it's obvious he doesn't go to Golos. He is subject to being executed. If he's executed, there's no point in Golos in that case. So why do I need a pasuk to exclude Mezid from going to Golos? Omar Rava, Emo, rather say Prat L'Oimer Mutter. When the pasuk says Bishkoga, those to Golos, were coming to exclude another case that doesn't go to Golos. This is someone who claims that it is Mutter to commit murder. Omar Le Abaye, E Omer Mutter, if you encounter a person who thinks that it's Mutter to commit murder, Onus who? He is acting in an onus fashion. His act of murder is ke'ilu, it's as if it's beyond control, because he thinks it's legitimate, it's quite alright to do it. Rashi on this says, being that I categorize this as onus in general refers to something beyond one's control. In this case, he didn't think he had to control whatsoever because he thought it's mutter, it's allowed. The problem is, why does the source refer to it as mezid? Because we're coming to explain the word bishgoga in the pasuk, which serves to exclude something that the Braisa categorizes as mezid. But, says Abaye, if he's Omer Mutter, he's not a Mazid, he's an Onus, which is a totally different category. Amar Lei, so Rava responds, She'ani Omer, I happen to hold a Omer Mutter, someone who thinks that it's Mutter to commit murder, Korov the Mazid who. He is almost like a person who is premeditated with intent. And as a result of that, it is safe to categorize him as mazid in the source. Bevlidas, the pasuk used that expression. We saw this in our source a few lines up. Prat lemiskaven, to the exclusion of someone who murders with intent. Such a person does not go to an ir miklat. Miskaven, pshita, a person with intent, it's obvious he doesn't go into exile. Bar kato, he is to be executed. Omar Rabba, Prat, what this section of the Brisa and the Pasuk is trying to exclude is Prat Lemiskavein. And now we have several cases that there is an element of Kavona, but the individual's Kavona, the perpetrator's Kavona, would not have led, if his intended results would have happened, would not have led to execution. It's just what happens here is that he intends for something that's okay, that's not high of execution, but the result is not what he intended. So the following is not going to go to Golus, but he does not receive a death penalty either. So the Pasuk Bivlidas, which says Bivlidas goes into exile. Pratlam is kavi larugas abeim of oragas adam, someone who intended to kill an animal, and what resulted from his action was a person was killed. Lekusi v'horag es Yisrael, he intended to kill a kusi, and for the murder of a kusi there is no death penalty. But what happened was, it turned out that the Yisrael was a victim. L'nefel v'horag ben kayoma, a third case is that he intended to kill a nefel. A nefel is a child that's born prematurely and will not live under normal circumstances, is not expected to live. And he was aiming, let us say, for a nefel, and he ended up killing a ben kayoma, a healthy child. Tono Rabbanan, we have a Tanaic source that will feature some more cases where there will be no golus. The pasuk says, "Im bepesa, prat lekeren zavis." The pasuk comes to exclude a case of someone killing a victim as he was turning the corner. Rashi on the third line from the top says, "Bepesa, prat lekeren zavis." Shaloshon pesahu besamuch kedematargamina betekif prat lekeren zavis imhoya ze yoytze mimovui ze v'nichnas lezeh. A person was rounding a corner, he was going from one alley into another, v'nichnas lezeh, lifnos liyamino lismol v'sakino biyado, and as he was turning the corner he had a knife in his hand, v'ze ba kenegdo bekeren zavis, and the victim came in his direction. They met up in the corner as he was rounding the corner, velo rohu, and didn't see him beforehand, vahargo. So such a case is not going to go into golus. Below eva means without wrath or hate. Prat lisone, to the exclusion of a case where the murderer happened to have been hateful of the victim. Hadofoi, the pasuk uses the word hadofo. Shedochfoi begufo o hishlich olav, he pushed the victim or he threw something on him. Lahavi rida shihi tzarech aliyah, to include a case of a downward movement that was done with the intention of later making an upward movement. This will be explained later in the Gemara. Belo yitzidia, prat lemiskavin litzad ze v'holcha lo litzad achir. The pasuk is telling us that a person who was aiming to aiming in one direction and he ended up shooting or throwing in another direction does not go to Golos. Vasher lo tzada prat lemiskaven lizrok shtayim vezorok arba. This is to the exclusion of a this serves to exclude a person who intended to throw something to Amos and he ended up throwing further and killed someone. Vasher yovoi esreu bayar. The pasuk says he came into a forest and it was in the forest that he killed someone. Ma yar, just like a forest, is rishus lenizik v'lamazik. There is an allowance for the victim and the perpetrator to be there. It's a public type area. Likones l'sham, to enter the forest. Av kol rishus lenizik v'lamazik likones l'sham. So too, the dinim, the laws of Golos, will apply to murders that take place in such domains that both have an allowance to be there. This, of course, you can see is to exclude a case where someone intruded into the property of someone else, and the owner inadvertently killed the intruder. In such a case, there would be no golos because it's not a case that's similar to ya'ar, to the forest. Before we go on, let's take a note of the topic heading we have accompanying this section of the Gemara, the nosei that you see on the side. We have noted she'elas Rabbi Avo, Rabbi Avo's question. Hoya oyla besulam, v'nishmat shliva mitachto v'horak. A person was ascending a ladder, and one of the rungs, slipped out from under his foot and killed someone. Bamine Rabbi Avo, me Rabbi Yochanan, hoya oyla besulam, v'nishmat. He was rising a sulam on a ladder, v'nishmat hashliva, and the rung, the shliva is the rung, slipped out, mitachtov, from under him. V'nofla v'harga, and eventually fell and killed someone. Mahu, ki hai gavno aliyahi o yuridahi. The question is this considered upward movement? Do you focus on the person was going up the ladder, or do you focus on the fact that the rung killed someone by having slipped out and falling down? Amarle, the Rabbi Yochanan, to whom the question was posed, says, Kvar nogato, you are touching upon that which was referred to above, Biyurida shi sorechalia. You can see with the arrows where this is coming from. It was coming from a source that indicated that such a thing, such an action, would be chayev golos. This was a yerida, the yerida of the rung, which was sorach aliyah. For example, this person was trying to go up the ladder. Before we go further in the Gemara, let's glance at the Rashi for a point of clarification. There's a Rashi about a third of the way down from the top, Aliyah hi o Yerida hi. In presenting the question of Rabbi Avo, we asked, is it considered an upward movement or a downward movement? Boser didei azlinon, do we focus on the person v'hu haya osuk b'aliyah, and he was involved with going up the ladder? Or do we focus on the rung? When one steps on the rung, he's actually pushing the rung in a downward movement. So if you focus on the rung of the ladder is in a downward movement, which would be grounds for golus. So Rabbi Yochanan attempts to answer and says, you are touching upon the very case that was alluded to in the Braisa. So according to Rabbi Yochanan, the case that was featured in the Braisa, and you can see with the arrows to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text, you see that it was coming from a source, if you find the parallel arrow, you see that it's coming from a source that featured Yerido Shitzur Haliyah, that's Chayev Golos. Eisvei, we raise an objection. Zeh HaKlal, Kol Shebederech Yeridoso, Goyle. Shelo Bederech Yeridoso, Eino Goyle. We saw this in our Mishnah. In order to find where this quote is coming from, you can use the star that we've written in to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text. You can find it's the parallel star above. So, in the Mishnah, it says, Zeh HaKlal, Kol Shebederech Yeridoso Goyle, Shelo Bederech Yeridoso Eino Goyle. Shelo Bederech Yeridoso Lasuyemai. This phrase, we used a phrase mark, you could see singular to quotation marks. This phrase that says, not in a downward way. Lasuyemai, what is that coming to include? Lav Lasuyekiai Gavna, is it not coming to include this case? The case of the fellow going up the ladder with the rung falling down. And the Mishnah tells us there is no golos. V'letamech. So Rabbi Yochanan responds, Kol Shebederech, and you'll notice that we're treating this as a long answer. It's a long response, and our long answer marking appears to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text. You see the encircled tuf with the vertical dashed line. All of these lines are designed to show how Rabbi Yochanan defends his position. V'letamech, Kol Shebederech Yeridoso L'Asuyemai. What do you do with the phrase that was found in the Mishnah? Anything that's Bederech Yerida, that the Mishnah says does go into Golos, what does that include? Elo Lasuye Katsov. You'll have to say that that phrase of Kol Shebederech Yeridoso is Goyle, comes to include the case of the Katsov, literally is a butcher. Butcher uses a hatchet or an axe to carve up the meat before sale. We'll talk about that a little bit more in a moment. So Hochanami, so too with regard to the phrase of Shelo Bederech Yeridoso, that is coming Lasie Katsov, that's coming to include the case of the butcher, but not the case of the fellow going up the ladder and the rung falling out. Because as far as that's concerned, says Rabbi Yochanan, that was featured in the Baraisa, which mentioned that Yerida Shitzur Chaliyah is Chayav in Golos. Now, what's the case of the Katsav? So, the Gemara presents a Baraisa. It's actually a string of Tanaic sources that we've put in a frame. We framed all of them together. And it describes the Katsav sometimes going to Golos and sometimes not. Katsav Shei Mekatsav, a butcher who was chopping and killed someone. Tona Chada, one source says, Lefonav Chayav Lachrov Potter, if the victim was killed while in front of the Katsav, so he'll be Chayav Golos. If the victim was in back of him, Potter. V'tanya idoch la'achrov chayav l'fonov poter, seeming contradiction. V'tanya idoch bein l'fonov bein la'achrov chayav, whether in front or in back, there's guilt. V'tanya idoch bein l'fonov bein la'achrov poter. We have four sources that we've included together, all ruling differently. The lo kashi in the Gemara says there is no contradiction. As we go on in the Gemara, we're going to notice numberings. The numberings that we see in the continuation of the Gemara will correspond to the numbers in the source. But before we go further, let us attempt to describe verbally something that would be more beneficial if one saw this illustrated or in a moving fashion. A person who's trying to chop something, whether it be wood or meat, and he's using a hatchet or an axe. in order to get maximum force, what people do is they will lower the axe in front of them and then draw the axe from in front of them over their backs, first moving in an upward fashion, moving it from in front of them over their heads, and then in a downward fashion behind their back, eventually with the hope of then drawing the axe forward to get and getting maximum chopping strength in that fashion. One will take note that at every stage the position of the axe is either moving upwards or downwards. So in front of him there are two actions. There's an action of lowering and an action of raising. Likewise, in back of him, the axe, as it goes over his head, down in back of him, it's moving downwards. As he raises the axe in order to chop something, the axe is moving upwards till it gets over his head. And then when in front of him, it starts moving downwards. So the Gemara now explains. The Lokasya. We said, after presenting all of these seemingly contradictory sources, there is no contradiction. Kan biyarido shelefonov v'aliyo shelachrov. Number one that said, lefonov chayev lachrov poter, is because it's describing the downward movement in front of him as he's moving the axe down in front of him in order with in anticipation of eventually drawing it back over his head to get maximum chopping strength. But in that forward movement, moving it in front of him downwards, if he happens to kill somebody, that's called Yerida Shelefonov. And the source one above said that Lefonov Chayov, because that was a Yerida movement. The same number one had said La'achrov Potter, because that was Aliyah Shela'achrov. It was the upward movement after he had drawn it over his back, and now he's about to chop something, so he starts bringing up the axe over his head. That upward movement is called Aliyah, and it's from in back of him. Kan, the second source that said La'achrov Chayav and Lefonov Potter is Be'aliyah Shelefonov. That's why it said Lefonov Potter, because it was the upward movement of the axe in front of him when he was drawing it over his head, from in front of him over his back. So while in front he was in an upward movement, and hence no golus. V'yarida shelachrov, the source too that said that lachrov chayov, it's because that was talking about the downward movement that he was engaged in. And at that point, it was a downward movement over his head in back of him. And he killed someone. So that's a Yerida, and hence Chayav. Number three, that said, Bein Lefonov, Bein Lachrov, Chayav. The reason for that is because that features the two Yerida movements. Yerida Shelefonov, Vishel Achrov. And source four that said, Bein Lefonov, Bein Lachrov, Potter, that's Kan the Aliyah Shelefonov Vishal Achrov, the upward movement while in front, and the upward movement that he does from his back. And if at either one of those points someone was killed, there would be no golos. Lema Ketanoi, let us say that the question of Rabbi Avo, which was the fellow going up the ladder and the rung slipping out, let us say that that question is really a machlokas tanoim. Here we have a source, and it will be obvious. The fellow was rising; it was rising on a ladder, and the rung slipped out from under him. Tani chada chayav. One source says that he's guilty, and v'tani idoch. The other source says poter. My love, what must we conclude? Behal komifligi. In this matter, the two sources are arguing. We've put an aleph over here because this is the first stage of several stages. We're going to number up to four till Dalid. Four stages in dealing with this Tanaic controversy.
that's featured by Toni Chada and Tani Idoch. So the first stage suggests that it must be in this they are arguing. The Mor Savar Yeridahi, the first source that said Chayav, its views focuses on the rung, and it calls it, he categorizes as Yerida, or Mor Savar Aliyahi. And source two views the, focuses on the man, and he was going up the ladder. And hence, no Golos, therefore Potter. Loi, the Gemara rejects this attempt to say that Rabbi Avo's question is the basis of this machlokas tanoim. Rather, dekuli amon, we've indicated a base over here. Dekuli amo aliyahi. Everyone will agree that we categorize that as an aliyah. Velo kashya kan lenazikin kan legolus. As far as source, we'll skip here. The source two that says potter. That's because it was focusing on exile. And since we just said everyone categorizes the case of going up the ladder and the rung slipping down, slipping out and falling, everyone categorizes that as aliyah. And as a result of aliyah means rising, there is no golus. What about source one that said chayev? That's referring to l'nezikin. That's referring to in a case that the victim didn't die. He was simply injured. If he was injured, there's a series of payments that are made to injury victims. So, in such a case, that's chayev. Chayev means chayev reparations for the injuries. The ibois emo, a third approach, ha vaha legolus. Both sources are talking about exile. Velo kashya, ha de aslia, ha de lo aslia. Aslia from the word tolas means wormy. That if the rung was wormy, in other words, its connection to the ladder was weak because the wood was full of worms, that is the case of chayav. That would be classified as yerida. Rashi says, ha de aslia, chayav is guilty of golus, shekol shliva shesliya kishadorsin aleha. All rungs that are wormy, that when you put pressure on them, like you put your foot on it to go, to step on it to go up, nichfefes hi lamata, it bends downwards, the yerida hi, that's to be categorized as yerida, v'im lo hislia, ein kan yerida. If it's not wormy, and someone was walking up the ladder, climbing up the ladder in with us and stepped on what was a non-wormy rung, that's called aliyah. Viboyesema, another approach, ha vaha, the lo esliya. Both sources are featuring rungs that were not wormy. The lo kashya, ha de mahadek, ha de lo mahadek. Notice with the numbers, we could have mentioned this earlier. The numbers that you see, 2 and 1, they correspond to the sources in the source. So that when we read here, Ha de Mahadek, we see a 2. That is a reference to the source number 2 that said Potter. He's exempt if the rung was inserted firmly into the side posts of the ladder. For Ha de Lo Mahadek, that's a case where the rung was not inserted firmly into the side posts that formed the ladder. In such a case, since it wasn't firmly inserted, it's considered yerida and therefore chayav. Nishmat HaBarzel, the Mishnah says. Before we actually read the Mishnah, let us glance at our topic heading, the Nosei, Machlokes Tanoim, the Nishmat HaBarzel Shel HaGarzen, where the axe head slipped off Mikato from the handle, Vahorag, and killed. We will see this machlokas tanoim in the Mishnah. Nishmat habarzel mikato vehorag. The axe head slipped off the handle, it flew off and killed someone. Rebbe Omer eino gole, v'chachamim omrim gole. Another case. Min ho'etz hamisbakea. A piece of wood spurted out from the tree that was being chopped. Person was using an axe chopping a tree, and while he was chopping the tree, a piece of wood flew out and killed someone. Rebbe Omer Gola. Notice how Rebbe's position changes here. That's the case that there's Gola. So Chalom Omer may no Gola. According to Chalom, in that case, there is no Gola. It's the opposite of what they said in the first example of the Mishnah. Tanya. The Gemara now presents a Tanaic source that will feature Rebbe and how he addresses the Chachomim. Just to review, Rebbe's shita is that when is there golos? When the piece of wood that he's chopping, when a piece of wood shoots out and kills someone, and not in a case where the metal axe head slipped off the handle and killed. In such a case, Rebbe says no golos. Before we go further into the source, let us glance at the side where we've written in a pasuk. Tvarim perek yutes pasuk hay. The pasuk there, which by the way was a pasuk quoted earlier on the Omid, the pasuk says Vashir yavoi es reu bayar lachtoi veitzim. He comes into a forest to chop wood. V'nitche yodoi bagarzen lichrois ha'etz. V'noshal ha'barzel min ha'etz. U'motzo es re'ehu. The pasuk describes someone holding a hatchet, using a garzen, an axe to chop wood, and v'noshal ha'barzel min ha'etz. U'motzo es re'ehu. U'meis. Something took place here, and we can't be too specific. We have to let the Tanaic source get into the details of understanding the pasuk, but something happened while the chopping was taking place. Motzes Reu Mason, it found the victim and he died as a result. Hu Yanus El Achas Heorim Ho'ela V'Choy. The murderer, though inadvertent, shall run to one of the cities of refuge and thereby preserve himself. Tanya, the Tanaic source, begins Omar Lehem Rebbe Lechachomim. V'chi Ne'mar V'noshal HaBarzel Me'etso. Does it say that the barzel, the iron axe head, fell off, or V'noshal, it means to fall off, Me'etso, from its handle? Falolo nemar elo min ha'etz. The pasuk says, "V'nashal ha'barzel min ha'etz." Doesn't say its wooden handle, but rather from the tree, which is the basis for Rebbe saying that it's wood that comes from the tree, that spurts out of the tree and kills someone, is the grounds for exile. V'oid nemar. Eitz lamata v'nemar eitz lamala. Within the pasuk that we read, the word eitz appears below and above. Rashi points out, nemar eitz lamata v'noshal ha'barzel mino eitz. That's the section of the pasuk that we could say is unclear. V'nemar eitz lamala lichrois ha'etz. There, as you go on in the pasuk where it says lichrois ha'etz, to cut the tree, the wood, meaning the wood of the tree. Ma eitz ha'omur lamala, the Brisa goes on to say, just like the lichros ha'etz section is clear, that's a reference min ha'etz ha'mespakea, there it's talking from the tree that's being chopped. Af eitz ha'omur lamata, so too, when the pasuk says v'noshal ha'barzel min ha'etz, the word eitz there is a reference to min ha'etz ha'mespakea, from the tree that's being chopped. In other words, wood from the tree that's being chopped is what kills. Omar Rabbi Chiya bar Ashi, Omar Rav, Ushnei Mikro Echa Darshu. Both opinions, Rebbe and the Chachamim, darshan the same pasuk. V'noshal ha'barzel min ha'etz. Rebbe Sovar, Yesh Eim L'masores. Rebbe says that the main way to darshan psukim is by focusing on the way the word appears in the Torah and not the way it is read formally when reading the Torah. So when you see the word Vav, Nun, Shin, Lamed, when you see those letters, being that there are no vowels, the automatic way that one would read that, even though it's not the way we actually read it, but in the absence of vowels, one would have read it as v'nishel. V'nishel ksiv. The word v'nishel is a certain form of grammar that indicates causative, that the chopping action caused a piece of wood to shoot forward. Rabbanan Savri Yesh Aim LaMikra, that the way, the main aim means the main way to Darshan Sukkim is LaMikra, based on the way we read it, not based on the way the word appears in the Torah, but the way we read it, the reading that we have is also part of an oral tradition. And even though without any tradition we would have read it as v'nishel, the way we actually read it is as v'noshal. And that form of speech, v'noshal ha-barzel, is not causative, but rather it's a verb form, a simple verb form, indicating that the metal axe had slipped off the handle. The Gemara asks, "V'Rebbe Yesh Ein LaMasora Svirale?" Is this really so, that Rebbe holds that the main way to darshan psukim is based on the way the word appears as opposed to the way it's read? V'Omar Rav Yitzchak Bar Yosef, Omar Rav Yochanan. The Gemara at the top of Daf Ches points out that in the name of Rav Yochanan, Rebbe Rav Yehuda Ben Roetz, we've dashed underlined Rebbe's name because he's the focus of our discussion. Rebbe and another Rav, Rav Yehuda Ben Roetz, Ubei Shammai, V'Rebbe Shema, V'Rebbe Kiva, all of these Rabbonon, Kulu Sviro, Lahu, they are all of the opinion, Yesh Ein La Mikra, that the main way to darshan psukim in the Torah is based on the way we read it in shul, the way we read it in a Sefer Torah. So how can you say that Rebbe's Shita is based on Yesh Ein La Masores? So the Gemara says, "Hainu de komaluhu va'oid." Based on this fear that you might think that Rebbe is learning Yesh Ein La Masores, Rebbe offers a second hesber, and that's the word comparison of base of the word eitz in the pasuk, which indicates to Rebbe mino eitz hamisbakea. Rashi, on the second line from the top, says, "Hainu the Kohoda Rebbe Viomar," based on the fear, we'll say, of misconstruing Rebbe's approach as focusing on the way to Darshan Venoshal, he offered a second Hesber that said, "Viomar Oid Lemilfe Begzero Shova," to learn from the word comparison that only in the case that the murder takes place through the piece of wood shooting out from the tree and killing the victim, only then will there be grounds for exile, and not where the axe head shoots off the handle. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.